Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. My website is www.obrien.com. Please go there and get my Retirement Ten Commandments if you're interested. We're on News Now, 94.9 FM. And if you'd like to call in with a question, financial, retirement, life, whatever you want to talk about, it's your day today. Our number in Connecticut is 860-464-9490. And in Long Island, 631-317-1949. 317-1949, the year I was not born. Hope everybody's doing well. It's been an interesting week. I want to talk about the stock market a little bit. I'm going to talk about General Dynamics, EB, a lot this show. I'll also be talking about the banks. We'll be talking about marijuana. We're talking about IRA CDs in your local bank if you got a very low yield. We'll be talking about exceptional entrepreneurs and a portfolio that I'm trying to put together for people. We'll also be talking about Tim Bray at Seaport Realty, a story he relayed at our latest BNI meeting. We'll also talk to a gentleman I talked to this week who went to prison for 2 years, got out, and started a very successful business, and tell me, share some stories about him. I'm so grateful. I was just telling my friend Chris here about how grateful I am for everything in my life. Last weekend, Father's Day, all three sons came home with their wives. Two of them are married. And, it was just very, very special to have everybody around. And, you know, I was thinking about my dad and thinking about, you know, Lori's dad who's still with us. And, it's just very, very fortunate. I mean, you think about how life is and how quickly it goes as you get older. It definitely youth does not appreciate how quickly things go. And you look in the mirror and you go, I still feel like I'm 19 years old. And, you know, I'm 61. And how did that happen? How did that happen? I do not know. Anyway, my name is Dennis O'Brien. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. My job is to help people prepare for, execute, and then, enjoy retirement as they can. And, the advice I give everyone is basically in your 60s, travel as much as you can. 70s, probably a little bit less, but travel, because when you hit your 80s, probably not going to go as much as you did in your 60s. So, you know, if you planned right and done all the right things early on in your life, I had one gentleman in my office. He's in his 40s. This fellow was about 66 years old, and I said, just picture, talk to your 26-year-old self. What would you say to your 26-year-old self? And he says, what do you mean? I said, well, if you were sitting here with me, first of all, at 26, would you ever sit down with me? And he goes, no, I wouldn't know what to say. I'd be intimidated. You would scare me. I'd go, why am I here? You know? And it was very interesting, because if you think back at 26, if you come into a guy like me, all right, and you say, listen, I want to be a millionaire. How do I do it? And so, I gave you David Bach's book, or I tell you to go to Amazon and buy it for yourself, used for $8, Automatic Millionaire. So read this book, come back in a week or a month, however your schedule allows you to read. But read that book first, then come back to me and tell me if you get it, okay? So I tell everybody out there, if you have young couples, okay, not so young couples, okay, because you know and I know the number one reason for divorce in this country is, no drum roll, please, money. The lack of it, the lack of planning of it, two spenders getting together, a saver and spender, but the spender's in charge of the checkbook. We'll talk about all that too a little bit, but that is the number one reason. So getting back to that 26-year-old, he reads the book, or she reads the book, right? They just got married, they're still single, whatever. They read the book, all right, and they get it. All right. And the key of the book, the main premise of the book, is automatically save. Do not wait till there's something left over at the end of the month. None of that. You take 14%, 1 hour of every 8-hour day, and automatically sweep it out to an investment account I've set up for you, or wherever you want to go, okay? And then I turn around and say you're putting in $200 a month, $100 a month, $1,000 a month. Some people have, you know, good cash flows. Talk to one young man, he has a flooring business. He could probably do $2,000 a month, okay? We open the account, but he hasn't started the automatic stuff yet because he's still getting his head around it. He's 24, but if he starts and he does it automatically, the numbers are staggering. Because what I'll do is I'll turn around and say, listen, I want you to buy every few months when we have enough money one of these exceptional entrepreneur stocks, okay? And we'll talk about what makes up an exceptional entrepreneur. But boy, it's tough. You're 1 in 20. You've got to be the best of the best. Because most companies in America are run by administrators, bureaucrats, okay? They call themselves entrepreneurs, but they're not. They're taking over an existing business. They haven't grown a damn thing, and all they knew how to do is cut jobs, okay? Sorry for saying the D word, but I get riled up when I think about General Electric and other companies that are run by, in the past, by guys that are horrible, absolutely horrible. So, anyway, getting back to the 26-year-old, he starts saving every month on an automatic basis, or she, okay? And he or she starts giving me, in this case of this flooring, $2,000 a month, and I start buying these exceptional companies for them. And these companies aren't traded. We don't sit there and watch them tick by tick. No trading going on. We buy them because we believe their businesses are going to dominate in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And we keep buying different ones. Keep buying different ones. Chances are, when that person is 55, 60, they won't have to work anymore. Okay? So, going back to the 66-year-old, talking about this, he just looked at me and goes, he goes, I got to get my kid in here as soon as possible. You know, and literally, he's right, right? His kid's maybe in his early 30s. Get them going. This is the best piece of advice. I always tease the kids when they come in and open the account and start the automatic investing. I go, all I ask is when I'm gone and buried and in the great, great unknown, okay, with the big guy upstairs, just come out, go over and put a flower on my grave. Thank me, you know. That would be very cool, I think, you know. And they look at me like, is he kidding? But my kids know I'm not. So in any case, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today, but I really want to talk about EB and General Dynamics because a lot of you own it out there. A lot of you work for them or just started working for them because they're hiring like crazy. And I want to talk about some of the things I went to this week, talking to top management, gave presentations and what's going on out there and how the fact that EB and General Dynamics are two distinct things. General Dynamics owns EB, okay, but General Dynamics is a lot more than EB, and the stock price of General Dynamics is affected by EB, but many, many more things, and I just want to clarify that for a lot of people, because a lot of people in the region only know EB and don't realize General Dynamics is a much, much bigger company, and we should talk about that. If you'd like my retirement 10 commandments, come back to me. Give me a ring during the week at 415-9614. You can call anytime. It'll forward to my cell, and I'll give you a ring back. Thank you for listening to 94.9 News Radio Now, and we'll be back at the break. Bye-bye. Dennis O'Brien here at News Now, 94.9 FM, not News Radio Now, according to Chris, News Now. Sorry, Mr. Fuller. We'll get it right. This is Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. I hope everybody's doing well. I want to talk about EB, General Dynamics, and what's going on there, because I went to a presentation by APIC Group. It's a group of engineers, production people, inventory people. These are people that run the plants around New England. They're based out of Providence. They talk to each other, and General Dynamics, EB, gave a presentation, what's going on there. But before I start in on that, I just want to read an article that was in the Day a while back about what's going on there, because it really is an amazing thing that's happening. Okay, the Navy is basically in the next 20 years going to replace the whole fleet. Okay, and they're going to size it up by maybe 50%, depending on, of course, budget consideration, I'm sure. So the U.S. Navy is working to build three attack submarines opposed to two, and they want to keep five of the attack submarines in service longer than expected to address a dip in the number of nuclear-powered attack submarines in the coming year. The U.S. attack submarine fleet is expected to shrink by 20% over the next decade. There are 52 attack submarines today, and by 2028, which is 10 years from now, the number is expected to dip to 42 as they take them out. The Navy said it needs a fleet of 66 attack subs, but that's not expected to happen until 2048 under its current plans. Meanwhile, the Navy continues to drive down the construction timeline for the Virginia-class submarine, which is replacing the L.A. attack submarine program. On the onset, the boats were built in 84 months. Then the Navy reduced the construction timeline to 74 months, and now the goal is to build them in 66 months. The Navy wants to knock down even more time, which means pressure is mounting on EB and hundreds of submarine suppliers in Connecticut to keep on schedule. Already, EB has been building two Virginia-class submarines a year with Newport News shipbuilding and thousands of suppliers across the country. The submarines cost about $2.7 billion each to build. Everyone, I think, has reached consensus that this is part of the fleet more and more prized by combat commanders, and now the dip in the fleet size is getting imminent. Time and delivery is becoming even more a priority, according to U.S. Representative Joe Courtney of the 2nd District. The Navy is negotiating the contract for the next group of attack subs it wants to build from 2019 to 2023. Congress authorized the production up to 13 Virginia subs during that period. The Navy wants to build 12. So, that means building three more submarines in 2022 and 2023, respectively. Costs are still being figured out, and Congress would have to approve. Okay? So they are really, really trying to get this whole fleet replaced in the next 20 years, which is just amazing. And the ramp up right now, I went to the presentation by Apex up in the Providence area, and Mr. Plant spoke, and Mr. Johnson was in attendance, Vice President of Engineering, and Mr. Plant, who's the head of strategic planning. And he's basically, him and his planning group are laying out the plans for through 2080. Let me repeat that. This is 2018 through 2080. So they're going to replace the whole submarine, force in the next 20 years. And going out to 2080, they're planning for that, which is absolutely incredible what's going on. And the implications for our little geographic area in southeastern Connecticut, because they need to hire engineers, they need everything. Welders, they need, and the average age of the workers in manufacturing in this country, including EB, is older. So a lot of people are going to go out, a lot of these young kids are coming in, and there's going to probably be, you know, a little bit of pressure there, turmoil, as the learning curve goes up. So, you know, he talked about that and all the things that need to go on. So how does this affect General Dynamics stock? Because basically it's not all I care about, but it is important because a lot of people own it in the area. A lot of workers there in their SSIP, which is the name of their 401k, have it in that account. Now, General Dynamics stock has gone down recently from a high of 220-something down to, I think it's 189 or something. It's come down about 30 points, I would say, on average. And it's kind of a head-scratcher because I'm giving you all this great news about all these new contracts and this build out at EB. Meanwhile, the parent company, General Dynamics, which is based down in Virginia, Washington, D.C. area, has gone down. So it's kind of a head-scratcher, and it's kind of like, okay, what's going on and why? And I think it comes down to this, okay? The General Dynamics earnings, of course, are affected by what happens at EB. But General Dynamics earnings are much more reflected in Gulfstream, which is their private jet. Now, a little background. There's Gulfstream and Bombardier, okay? Those are the two main competitors. Bombardier has been raising their game, okay? The problem with the corporate jet market is it's half, the orders are half of what they were since 2008, 2009, when everything just blew open, okay? Orders went down. They never came back fully, okay? Some of the demand's probably been taken by the net sharing companies that you can share a jet and it's lower cost. But the full jet market, the corporate jet market, has not come back. And General Dynamics earnings are affected greatly by that Gulfstream business, okay? And the order rates have not come back yet, but there's a sense that as the average sub has lengthened out, you need to be replaced. The average corporate jet is eventually going to have to be replaced. And plus, with the maybe the economy's coming back eventually, you're going to see more new orders and everything else. So General Dynamics stock is down because, I believe, because of that reason and whatnot. But what's going to happen in the future, because that's all I care about, and it's interesting what's happened in the past, is it's going to be alleviated. And my view is that it's probably going to be very, very positive down the line, and I would act accordingly. But that's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. I can't get into recommending or not recommending, but I feel more optimistic, and I think everyone out there should. And is it a buy right now? It's hard to say, but it's definitely very interesting at this price, and we'll see. You know, so that's something that I think is very, very important to talk about and to know, you know, what we think. So how's retirement going for you? It all depends. If you're not retired yet, you need to sit down and plan. Give me a ring, because I'm more than happy to sit down. There's no obligation. There's no cost. You come down, we sit down, and we just review all your statements, start putting down everything in paper, and start running some numbers in different scenarios. Lots of times people come in and they want to retire at 62, 58, 65, 70. Some of them never want to retire. They love what they do. They just want to know that if something happens to them, the primary breadwinner in the family, that their spouse will be taken care of, okay? Some of you have gone through divorces later in life and need to know how that affects you and your retirement planning. Some of you have lost a spouse and need to know what to do here, or they become infirmed one reason or another, and it's been a drain on the family finances because of Medicare. Everybody has a different scenario. I had one gentleman in my office. He came in, and he had gone through a tough time, and he went to jail for 2 years, and he came out, and he started a very successful business, and he's doing great, you know. But he went through and told me what happened to him and what he did and all the stupid mistakes he made. He made a promise. He turned to the big guy upstairs and said, I'm going to live my life differently, and he has. And I give him all the credit in the world, because there's no one I root for more than the one who has sought redemption, found it, and now has become a positive force, not in his own life, but the people that love and are surrounding him. Because, you know, when you commit suicide or you go to jail or you go down, you having a tough, tough time or get caught up in drugs, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone around you and the people that love you. And suicide especially. I mean, you know, the people, we've seen the celebrity suicides, but all the people around them that loved them and cared about them, you know, they're riddled with guilt, you know. And that, and I tell everybody going through a tough time, go see someone, go get professional. There's no, years ago, 40 years ago, when I was growing up, you went to see a therapist. It was like, oh, what's wrong with you? Now, I think a lot of that stigma, and that's a good thing. I think a lot of stigma's gone. There's a lot of good therapists out there. If you need a name or someone to talk to and get this process going, let me know, because I deal with them. I know who they are. I don't deal with them personally, but that's always a possibility at any given moment, because I think we all need help from time to time, you know, and get the help you need, because sometimes when you have that, I call it the cleansing cry. When you have that cleansing cry, and I've had people come in my office, couples were struggling, you know, with communicating about money and other issues in the marriage, and one of them has that cleansing cry, I know that the pain of staying the same became greater than the pain and fear of changing, okay? Because Dave Ramsey, and Dave Ramsey's a really, really interesting guy, okay? And I think he's great, okay? And Dave Ramsey says most money problems come from It's 80% behavioral and 20% financial. And he's right. Because most people, the issues they have with money or the problems they have come from behaviors that they've established. And 80% of that, if that's changed, okay, the financial side of it, you know, most people can figure out, but he recognizes very clearly on that counseling has to go on either with a professional financial person or the counseling you need from a professional therapist to help you work out those issues. Because especially after the divorce has lost the spouse, there is a vacuum, there is a gap, there is a depression, tough times going on. And I always tell people, no major decisions a year or two after a major event like that. Get your head on, get back to life, work on things, but make no major decisions, okay? Don't let anybody press you into something that doesn't feel right. Because over time, you'll find your own voice, you'll get your own buoyancy back in your life, and you'll be able to step forward again. And you'll be a lot stronger for it. Because you know and I know, you go through tough times, that's fine, but as you come out the other side, you're different. You're not the same. So bear that in mind. If you'd like a free consultation, just give me a ring at 860-415-9614, or you can email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com. Don't be shy. There's no cost. There's no risk. You like me. I like you. We gain a mutual respect and trust. We can work together, and I would enjoy that. Thank you for listening to News Now 94.9 FM. This is Dennis O'Brien, the president, listening to the Retirement, Life, and Investing Show on 94.9 FM News Now. Talk to you in a few. Thank you. America, Dennis O'Brien back with the Retirement Life and Investing Show. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. I'm on 94 Now News Now. Welcome back. And we have a caller on the line. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Sam. How are you, brother?
Let's see. Better than I deserve.
That a boy. So what's going on? You got an opinion on EB? After all, you're the second longest tenured worker there.
Well, let's see, along the lines of the 401k, last year you had about a 19% return on investment.
That's right.
But, this year, something's going on there. For the first couple of months it was holding up pretty good, but, now as you say, the stock price is going down. And the investment on return is kind of eating up all of my company contributions.
Now, yeah, that's right, because the stock's gone down about 30 points from the peak.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering how much influence was had on that by a recent acquisition by General Dynamics of IT area, or you know the.
They bought a big company for almost $10 billion that does.
I forgot how price. I thought it was a couple of billion, but yeah, $10 billion.
I think it was 9.7. It was a big number. It was a big number. They bought this company that helps the government run their computer systems.
Yeah.
And safeguard their systems and whatnot. And the government's about to up their money on these anti-hacking fools out of the country, and they need a lot of help. And General Dynamics, I think, made a very good purchase, a very timely purchase in that area. And
so now, with the lower stock price, I can buy more stock for the same investment. Yeah.
There you go. I'm not allowed to give you a recommendation either way, but I don't think that acquisition affected the stock price. In my opinion, is it's the corporate jet market, Gulfstream.
Okay,
and when that starts to straighten out the next year and Wall Street starts to feel better, because GD is not giving them anything optimistic on that market, and it's freaking them out a little bit. So they've been selling. You know, these mutual fund managers, they're quarterly. They're looking over their shoulder. I'm going to get fired. So any sign of weakness in anything, they go, bing, and they knock it right out. So. Expo. So the long-term workers like yourself, you act accordingly, but I personally would not be a seller here, you know. But
no, I always remember the Depression era philosophy was, you know, if you buy stock, you put it in a drawer and forget about it.
Exactly, exactly. That philosophy is interesting. If you had bought General Electric 12 years ago, you might not feel good about that philosophy.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So, like any rule, there's exceptions.
Yeah.
And it depends on the quality of the company you bought. But the spirit of the rule is don't trade, which I agree with.
Look before you leap.
Look before you leap, my friend.
But he who hesitates is lost.
unless you're about to do something really, really dumb. We've never done dumb things, right?
Well, let's put it this way. I decided to retire the EB right out of high school. So.
You've just been putting off the decision.
I retired early.
You retired early. I don't know, Sam. Your manager could be listening. Take care, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now. Oh, Sam. You know, he's got a good attitude toward life. 80 years old, 81, something in there. 81? Yeah. 80. Now, God bless him. God bless him. Great attitude. And keeps laughing no matter what, which is a good way to be, you know. But, a lady came in my office a couple weeks ago, and she showed me a statement from a local bank. She had an IRA CD, all right, which is just a CD in an IRA account, you know. Her yield was 0.0005. I think on $100,000, I think she got 50 bucks or something crazy, you know. So I just shaking my head. She goes, I know. I just wanted to be safe. And I get it, but 0.00. So anyway, we moved it over for her and reinvested in some good income stuff. Yeah, she's taking investment risk, but 6-8% in current yield will probably mitigate a lot of the risk. So hopefully she'll be happy with what I did with her. In any case, the other day somebody wanted to buy the marijuana index, which I really like the marijuana industry long term. I think it's going to grow and grow and grow. The numbers are tremendous. So he said, yeah, and he says to me, hey, I want a joint account. And I went, oh boy, here we go. You know, making jokes about marijuana and whatnot. Something I want all of you to do, especially, you people getting big pension checks every month. The new tax act has made that a little more complicated. I want you to be aware of what's going on out there. A lot of you who are getting big pension checks, especially ex-government workers, teachers, state workers, old-time Fortune 500 plans, these old pension plans, okay? You've gotten a little bump up since the tax act passed in that they're withholding a lot less than they were, okay? And millions of Americans could be receiving, could be in for a bad tax surprise next year. A little noticed effect of last year's tax overhaul was that many pension payments are now larger, reflecting the new lower tax rates that are in effect for 2018. But this bump up increases the risk that recipients under withheld at tax time next year and therefore owe a penalty. To avoid this, retirees should immediately check their withholding and adjust it if necessary. One who will be checking is, and they went into a retired music teacher, and this article was in the personal finance section of the Wall Street Journal today. And I thought it was interesting to pass along. So a lot of it's what's happened with paychecks where people are, the withholding has changed and it's gone. You're getting more money, but, come next year, you ought to go and look at your W-4P and raise your withholding a little bit if you think you're under withholding. And it's hard to tell ahead of time. There's an IRS site you can go to and look at it. But there's a lot of people going to be affected by this, especially the first year, okay? If you need some advice on this, there's a good CPA in Norwich named Peter Mineri. He can help you, his staff, Carol, and the staff are more than happy to sit down with you and help you get through it because, let's face it, it's just something that's brand new. and a lot of people haven't planned for it yet. So just giving you a heads up, check your withholding. It's gone down a lot, and you don't want to change your W-4P, which is your withholding form, then take that extra money, put it aside, because chances are you're going to have to maybe pay a little bit more next April. So just be aware of that. Anytime I see something that might affect a lot of you, I like to pass along because, you know, bottom line is that there's a lot of tricks to it and whatnot. So I just want to let you know. Now, at O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, we use an innovative program called Retirement in a Nutshell. And it helps you quickly visualize the items that make up your cash flow in retirement. So I like to do these cash flow plans for anybody who's about to retire or has already retired and see where they're at. The number two retirement 10 commandments that I send you if you ask for them, the number two item in that is pay off all your debt. And I know many of you have heard this if you listened to me in the past. But ideally, and I'll fight with CPAs on this because many of them want you to have as many tax deductions and they feel like a home mortgage is a good thing in retirement. I differ. I feel all debt should be gone by the time you retire or very close to. And that should be one of the main things I have a lot of people working on is I don't want you to retire yet until this debt is paid off. Take your extra income, that second, and pay down your debt. Because if you were paying an extra $1,600 a month on a mortgage and that goes away, that's like having another $1,600 a month pension payment. The same thing. The absence of is the addition of, in a way. So please, please work on paying down that debt. And the Retirement in a Nutshell cash flow, which is absolutely free to anybody who comes in. You don't have to open an account. I'm more than happy to sit down and do it with you. It helps map out all your cash flows in retirement. You know, we take your monthly nut. And we go through and what your pension payments will be, 401k contribution, whatever you're going to get money out of in retirement, which you're planning to turn on, we try to map that out in retirement for you ahead of time. Now, if you go to my website, O'BrienRetired.com, I have a sample plan up there. So if you go up upper right-hand tab and hit the retirement planning tab, there's actual plan there, a 19-page plan for Joe and Betty Boomer or whatever name we thought of. So go through it if you want to, if you're a numbers person. You engineers out there love this stuff, so feel free. Others can just look at it real briefly and whatnot. So in the next segment, we'll talk about how to simplify your finances, how to get things organized, because that is the main thing you need to do. We are on 94.9 News Radio Now. This is Dennis O'Brien from the Retirement Life and Investing Show. We'll talk to you in a few. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, the Retirement Life and Investing Show. My website, www.obrienretire.com. I'm on 94.9 News Now, not News Radio Now. News Now, as Chris has reminded me twice today, which he should do. Let's talk about Bob and Sue, a blue-collar couple, been married for 8 years. The marriage was on the rocks over money problems. This is a Dave Ramsey story. Sue had been doing the finances and had become very bitter because shouldering all the responsibility and stress. She felt abandoned in a storm and was making comments like, I wish you would act like a man and take responsibility. Bob's a great guy with a heart the size of all outdoors where he spent most of his time. Bob liked to deer hunt, fish, camp, and a lot of other things that many of us enjoy. He was spending tons of money on these recreational hobbies and had no idea of the amount of money that was unreasonable based on their income. All he knew is he worked hard, so he thought it gave him the right to play hard. After all, Mama was good with the money stuff. There were some long fights. Sue had become a nag because of her frustration and fear, so every time Bob went near a fishing pole, everything would blow up, and he had no idea what he had done. Their love made them able to give up defending their own turf to see the you in unity had to be silent in order to work through their money problems. He recognized that shouldering Sue with all the responsibility was not a compliment. It was a cop-out. They began doing a budget together, which allowed them to share the stress and later the opportunity that their money brought them. As they shared the development of their monthly budget, Bob was able to include his hobbies without destroying the household finances because he now had some perspective. I don't know if he ever had seen a woman love a man as much the night Bob decided after looking over their budget that he should sell his most prized possession, his set of handmade fly rods. After all, Bob said, it's just stuff. As it turned out, Sue wasn't opposed to a good fishing trip herself, and they actually began doing some of these things together. Or Bob was able to go at Sue's urging rather than to sneak off. It's amazing what sharing burdens, sharing goals, communicating, and doing a budget together can do. So, guys, what we are saying is budgets done together equal to no-nag fishing trips, a small prize to pay for greatness. Interesting story and everything else. Here's another story that is kind of interesting, too, and I've seen this also. Jack and Sonia came to our financial peace offices, this is obviously another Dave Ramsey story, for a business counseling. And so Jack could get one of our financial counselors to tell Sonia just how it is. Jack was an entrepreneur with a strong personality and knows a lot about money, knows a lot more about money than Sonia. So he believed she should just follow his excellent advice. The only problem was his advice was always to do what he wanted and seldom to do what she wanted. Their relationship was folding fast. She had put up with 10 years of his bullying and manipulating, and even though Sonia was a shy, laid-back person, she was through taking it. Jack brought her to the counseling so she would get back in line, and I don't think he bargained for what he got. We advised this couple to begin marriage counseling immediately and attend one of our small group financial seminars. When it came time for Jack and Sonia to do a budget together, Jack was just too busy. One night, I sat in the group and watched Sonia try to explain the pain and hurt of his controlling her with money was bringing. The pain of 10 years showed clearly in her eyes. Then Jack said he was too busy, too smart, too important to budget, and agreed on spending with his mate. Several of the ladies tore into him. For the next minute, these she-bears took him out to the woodshed, and when he tried to get up, several of the men took up the fight. These were men who had also been resistant, who were now enjoying the benefits of agreed spending. After a few minutes, I pulled the mob off the poor Jack. He was only slightly bruised in the ego, but he had a new look of understanding in his face. No, Jack didn't become a wimp that night. He became a man. He burned off some of the selfishness that had been controlling his life and turning him into a manipulator. My guess is that night, Jack heard and saw the importance of shared goals for the first time in 10 years of marriage and taking the lesson to heart. He can count on at least another 10 years of marriage to Sonia. So, you know, these stories, and the reason I tell them is that this is extremely common, okay? And sometimes it's the man who's doing the budgeting and the wife is spending, and the credit card bills go up and up and up. And sometimes I've seen stories where the wife does the bill paying, and she's the one with 10 credit cards, and he just goes along with it to keep peace. So whatever it is, please go get counseling and go talk to somebody that can help you get going here and get organized. Because, as you know, Jet Magazine did a study, and it was like, I don't know, close to 60% of marriages blame money on the divorces. And we have way too many divorces in this country. I believe nobody should get married until you go through a money course together. Because when you get married, love, love, love is great, okay? But it's a financial partnership, and you've got to talk and work on that because it's not easy. Because everybody wants their way or has their habits. And especially, you know, if you're a saver, spenders want to marry you. That's just the way it seems to be. They know they need someone to help with them. But after the marriage starts, you look at it and, oh, I married one of those. You know, and that's what happens. So these are the things that, you know, this is real world. I don't talk jargon or and whatnot, because everybody has problems, and you have to be able to work it out. So Dennis Rainey, a noted marriage author, counselor, and radio host, says, we get married with two sets of blueprints to build a house. One of you has a plan for a ranch, and the other mate has a plan for a tri-level. If you don't sit down with some adjustments, you'll build a pretzel. Some of you have, Solo is not the way to be married. Duo is. We cannot run the second sound system on mono, but only on stereo where we get full use of our differences working in concert. The tweeters and woofers, when working together, make some beautiful music. So who should be doing the financial decision-making? Both. Both of you. This is not a joint venture. This is a marriage, and peace will only come through joint decisions. Larry Birkett says money is either the worst area of communication in a marriage or the best. I tend to think it's both in part because all the differences we bring to budgeting and finance table. I told you that opposites attract. Usually one of you is more creative and spontaneous. The mate, or even less organized, tends to see budgeting as a form of torture or method the other mate's controlling her or him. That describes Sharon. The other mate has more administrative skills, more of a bent toward numbers. Their lives deep inside of this mate is a nerd. That describes me. He's talking about himself, Dave Ramsey. The nerd can be either a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. So one of you is going to be more of a tightwad, one of you is going to be more of a spender. But you got to learn through mutual love and respect to sit down and talk it through. And if somebody's the tightwad, the careful spender and everything else, you got to work with them. Because if they truly love you, they'll work back with you and allow you to have some of the things you want. And they may want to do the things you want to do with you. And that'll bring the marriage in even tighter. And your kids will be happier, especially if you have young ones, they will see you working. And you're giving the kids the greatest gift of all, of showing them how to have a successful marriage. Because you know and I know, you can say whatever you want, and they'll look at you and go, sure, sure, sure. But it's what you do that they'll copy. So do the right thing. Give up your ego. Try to work together, okay? And if you're having trouble controlling yourself, get some help. Because the help is out there. There's a lot of people that want to help you, okay? And if you go to church, go to your minister and say, I need some help. Or go to Ramsey, go to a class. And learn this stuff because it will help you. There's a lot of people out there that want you to succeed and want you to do well. And one of the things I try to do when somebody comes in is simplify the finances as much as I can. A lady came in a few weeks ago with a husband, and she was running everything. And she had a file, but nothing was organized. I could tell she's so busy at work, and she has a job with great responsibility. I could just tell when she got a statement, she threw it in the file. Not the circular file, but the miscellaneous file. And everything was all over the place. I said, listen. I go, that tells me all I need to know. You need to get everything organized. I want all old 401ks labeled and filed. I want everything laid out. And she looked at me and she said, start writing down all the action points I wanted her to do and get ready. And he just looked and went, Yeah, I've been telling her. And I go, No. You have to help here. You know, nobody gets to chuck all the work on the other spouse. You have to help too. And he just looked at me like, you idiot. But I think he knew that what I was trying to say is, you can't have one foot in and one foot out. And that's, especially if you've been married 10 years, you got to have both feet in, Because your kids know. So you have to start working together. And I complimented both of them because they took a huge step. They came in together, And the first sessions sometimes it's kind of tough, Sometimes they don't come back for the second one because they just, not right away anyway. Takes them a while to process everything we talked about. So some of the things that I say is some first time anybody's ever talked to them that way. And sometimes they react emotionally, get mad at me, get mad at the spouse, whatever, okay? I don't mind. I don't take it personally. And when you're ready and you process everything, you come back. I've had people come back after a year and then finally got on the road together and started pushing, and they're so happy. Married, everything's better. Everything gets better. When you figure out the money stuff, everything in life gets better. You have a plan. And ultimately, it comes down to this, and this sounds very anti-intuitive, but it comes down to values. You have to have the values of being a good person, a good husband, a good wife, a good mother, a good father, a good son or daughter. If you have those values, all right, and work in the area of cooperation, life will start to get better. And try to help people, life gets better. It gets better and better and better. So with all of you, have good karma. Do good, you'll get good in life. Do bad, might not have an easy life. So do good, try to think of each other, try to help each other out. If you need help, feel free to call. I don't turn anybody away. I don't care how much money you have. I saw a website with a financial advisor in New York City. She only helps people with $1 million or more. That's disgusting. Everybody needs her help. Just because you have $100,000, you don't deserve help. You're going to turn that person away. Bad karma. Bad karma. Have a great week, everybody. Work hard. Hug your kids. Hug your wife or husband. And we'll talk to you next week. And if you have any questions, give me a ring. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.